Peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Company Founder of Scriptures, Rosario Abati. Now, first and foremost of all, I would personally like to thank you for ordering our monthly teaching tape. And I hope with all my heart, and I really mean that it will be a great inspiration and revelation to you. Now, the purpose of these monthly teaching tapes is to teach all who listen their true, that's T-R-U-E, their true relationship with God through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, this is something that God wants us all to know. Now, whether you are a new or a mature Christian, I am sure that you will enjoy listening to them. Now, since this is a Bible study, I encourage you to study along with your Bible, and if you'd like to take notes, that may be a good idea. What's good about tapes is that you can run them back and listen to them over and over again. Now, to get the full revelation of this month's lesson, as always, I encourage you to listen to this tape as often as you can. Now, listen at home or while driving in your car. The more you listen, the more you will understand. It's that simple. You also have our permission to copy this tape as many times as you like and give it away free to your family and friends. Now remember, our goal is to spread God's word and to win souls for Jesus Christ. So copying these tapes may be a good idea. Think about it. Also, when you listen to this tape, do not listen as if I were preaching to you from a pulpit, because I'm not. But listen to this tape as if I were in your home teaching you face to face, one on one. Now, with this in mind, let us start this month's lesson, How You Were Saved, and it's tape offer number 9907. Now, in order to completely understand this lesson on how you got saved, the first thing you must understand is how you got lost in the first place. Now, you have to understand that there was never a time in your life when you made a conscious decision to be lost. Now, what I'd like you to do is, if you have your Bible, is turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and read along with me if you can. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, if you understand the word breathe in the Hebrew, and if you have a concordance, a Strong's concordance, you can confirm this for yourself. In the Old Testament, breath always meant God's spirit. So God breathed his own spirit into Adam, and because of that, and when that happened, Adam became a living soul. So God's intention for man was for him to live in man and be the intricate part of him. Or I should say, the most intricate part of him. Now, turn with me to that same chapter, and let's go to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, if you continue to read Genesis, you'll see that Adam certainly did eat of the tree. And God said, on the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. Now, was God talking about a physical death when he said this? Well, eventually we know that Adam died physically, but God said, on the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. But yet we know, if we read, that Adam walked out of the garden. So God, when he said, on that day, you shall surely die, couldn't have been talking about or referring to a physical death. He must have been talking about a spiritual death. Otherwise, Adam would have fallen down and died that day if he was speaking of a physical death. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 And let's start at verse 4. Genesis 3, 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, isn't that just like the devil? You know, Jesus called him the father of lies, and it says whenever he speaks, that's all he speaks is lie. God told them that the day they eat off the tree is the day that they shall surely die, and the devil says exactly the opposite. All right, verse 5. For God doth know it, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. See, naked means stripped. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, here's the verse I wanted to bring you to. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto them, called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? Now, remember, the book not only is the truth, but it's also giving, it's a spiritual book. So there's a spiritual principle or a spiritual thought here that we need to look at. God said, where art thou, Adam? Now, you mean to tell me God being omnipotent, all-knowing, didn't know where Adam was? Or is God trying to tell us something? God is trying to tell us something. Namely this, that there was now a separation between man and God. Remember when we read earlier that God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul? In other words, God breathed his spirit into him. Or apparently, as God said, when they ate of the fruit, they both died. Now we can see that there was a separation between God and man. God left Adam. Okay, and that's how he became lost. That's how he became a sinner. Now, if you continue to read the Bible, you will see that the Bible says that Adam and Eve produced children in their own likeness, not in the likeness of God, but in their own likeness. They lost the image of God when they disobeyed. And it was one act, okay, of disobedience that not only condemned Adam, but also condemned the whole world. Okay, turn with me to Romans chapter 5, and let's read verse 12. Now, let me say something about the book of Romans. Now, God placed the book of Romans in a particular spot in the Bible. It's before the book of Acts and before the Gospels. After the book of Acts and the Gospels and before all of the letters. Now, the reason it's there is simply because the book of Romans is the only book in all of the Bible, okay, that explains the complete revelation of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, and how that relates to you, the sinner, okay? So it's important, if you want to understand the Bible, you have to read Romans, okay? Because you're not going to understand the Gospels, you're not going to understand the letters that Paul wrote. And the reason I say that, because Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. He was never to Rome, and he says that. So he wrote out the whole gospel, the whole revelation of Jesus Christ in this letter. The only letter that's similar to this, and one that you should be reading, is the book of Hebrews, which was written to the Jews. All right, and that's another thing you must understand to get the full revelation of Hebrews, to understand who it was written to. Not that Christians don't relate to it. We certainly do. Okay, but unless you understand that it was written to a particular people who already had a covenant with God, then you're going to get confused, without a doubt, on what Hebrews is trying to say. But anyhow, Romans is a book that we all should read. And don't let the devil rob you by saying it's too hard to understand, because God said he would teach us all things. And that's he will do exactly that if we believe him. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, okay, speaking of Adam, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for all have sinned. And when did all have sinned? This was written before you were born. My friends, all sinned in Adam. You see, Adam was a representative man. He represented the whole human race. And just like your president, if he declares war, whether you like it or not, we're at war. So what Adam did affected everyone after him, because he was a representative man. And it says right here, because of him, sin entered into the world. How do we know that? Just go to a graveyard. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So we all know that we inherited sin from Adam. Okay? Now that should be clear, and I don't know why there's so much confusion on that. All right, now turn to that same chapter, and let's go to verse 19. Now everybody seems to know and believe that because of Adam, we're condemned. But somehow people struggle with the second part. And that's in 19. For as by one man's disobedience, again speaking of Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of the one, now we're talking about Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Okay, now if the first part is true, and it is, that all became sinners because of Adam and his act of disobedience, his one act of disobedience. And I stress that because it wasn't many acts, it was one act of disobedience that condemned Adam. God didn't tell him, all right, come on back in and try again, I'll give you a second chance. No, it was one law he had, and that was it. And God didn't give him a second chance. And that's important to know, all right? So it was his one act of disobedience that condemned us all. And if that being true, then why can't one act on behalf of us through Christ, why can't we be made righteous as it says? Well, folks, we are made righteous in Christ by one act of faith towards God. Well, friends, we are, and it was his obedience to the death on the cross that makes us righteous before God, okay? So the point that I'm trying to make here, up to this point, I should say, in the teaching, is that we became a sinner and we became lost because of what Adam did in the garden. All right, and if you read Genesis again, it said that Adam reproduced children in his own image, in his own likeness. So everyone that comes into the world is born into the family of Adam, which means that you're lost, okay? And if you're lost, you must need a Savior, okay? Now turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and let's start reading at verse 1, and we'll read probably the most, the most well-known scripture in all of the Bible. Everybody seems to know John 3:3. But let's start at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. So he probably didn't want his fellow Pharisees to know that he was going to see Jesus, so that's why he came by night. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou hast doeth, except God be with him. Now here's verse 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, that means I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, that means that which is born of Adam, is flesh, is Adam, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now listen to what he told Nicodemus in verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, that ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it willeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it cometh, and where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? So he didn't understand what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? See, in other words, he should have known these. Why should he have known these things? Because he should have known that in the Garden of Eden, which we just previously read, which the Jews read, which the Jews had in their Torah, okay, the fact that Adam lost God. He died. Friends, Nicodemus should have known that Adam died when he ate of the fruit. And if you're dead, you can't be alive to God. So you must somehow be made alive or remade alive to God. Okay? I'm not saying that he should have known how to go about doing this, but he should have at least known the fact that man is born dead. And he must be reborn somehow. Now, again, the point that I'm trying to make is this, that there was no time, okay, in your life where you made a conscious decision to be lost, okay? In fact, as you'll see, you only have one choice, friends, and that's to choose God back. Adam had exactly the opposite. He already had God, and he chose not to have God by being disobedient. See, we're in the opposite condition that Adam was formed in. He was made acceptable to God because God made him that way when God formed him and made him in his own image and his own likeness. Because we're born in the image of Adam, we must somehow be restored back to the image that Adam lost in the garden. See, and that's how you become acceptable to God. And we're going to find out how to do that. Or we should already know, but if we don't, that's okay. God will teach us. All right, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's start at verse 1. Again, this is Paul showing you the condition that you were in before you received Christ. And you have been made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, that's how you were. As far as God was concerned, you were dead. You might have thought you were alive, and you certainly were alive to your parents and your family and your boss and whoever else, but as far as God was concerned, you were dead. He didn't know who you were. In which times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil, my friends. The spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. See, the sons of disobedience are all those who belong to Adam. Among whom also ye have all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. See, that's an important word. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. See, so by nature, you were doing all the things that we call trespasses and sins. You know, it was sin that was prodding you around in this world, telling you what to do. We weren't telling sin what to do. Sin was telling us what to do. And we were doing these things by nature. Just as a fish swims by nature, and a bird flies by nature's, sinners sin and commit acts of disobedience because that's the way they were born. They can't do anything else but evil, as God said. Again, if you read the book of Genesis, it says, this is before the flood, that God looked upon the earth and man was doing every intention of his heart, which was only evil. Only evil. See? It's a shame that we don't believe that. We still want to pat ourselves on the back thinking that there's something good about us when God says we're evil. Jesus in the gospel said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, okay? So he said the same thing, didn't he? When the rich man walked up to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to enter eternal life? And Jesus said, why dost thou call me good? God alone, A-L-O-N-E, God alone is good. So there's only one good in the entire universe, friends, and his name is Jesus Christ, God. He said so, and Jesus cannot, will not, and never has lied. So what he said was true. So let's not try to make claim on something that belongs only to God. God alone is good. And that's certainly not a put down on our part. We're humans. We're not God. There's only one God. So let's not try to put claim on an attribute that only belongs to God. And that's good. Now, it should be apparent up to this point that all of us are born of Adam and we're born in a condition called lost, okay? And every person, because they're in this condition, needs to be saved, okay? Now, the question is, how is one to be saved? All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 38. Now, this is after Peter spoke to his own people, the Israelites, who had the law as a means or a covenant with God. And Peter is telling them this now. Then Peter said unto them, speaking to the Jews, okay, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read that again to you, because there's a lot of thoughts out there on what this says, and people are reversing a lot of words in here and trying to make it sound like something that it's really not intended to be. Listen to what Peter says. Then Peter said unto them, repent. See, now repent simply means to change your mind, okay? Now, he's speaking to his own people, the Jews, who had a covenant with God based on the law and the law of sacrifice. Now, God told Israel, I had given you the blood for the atonement of your sin. See, and every time a Jew broke the law, he had to go offer up a sacrifice, and then through that, God atoned his sin. Now, Peter is saying something else. Repent now, change your mind, and be baptized. Okay, baptized simply means to be identified with. He's not talking about water baptism, because water baptism doesn't save anybody. He's talking about spiritual baptism. Every one of you, in other words, be identified with the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Okay? He doesn't say this, like many seem to say, or try to say, repent of your sins and be baptized. See, it doesn't say that. He's saying this, that when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, your sins will be remitted. Remember what the Bible says concerning blood? There is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. See, so Peter is simply trying to tell his people that they should no longer, okay, rely upon the law and the law of sacrifice to receive the atonement for their sins. Now they can be baptized and receive Jesus Christ as Savior for the remission of their sins. And then God will give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when that happens, okay, you are restored back to the image of God that Adam lost in the garden, because God only gives his spirit to those who believe in his son. So my friends, salvation is a gift of God. And that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit, your salvation forever, your eternal life in Christ, your seat in heaven, and it's only those who believe, and God only gives the Spirit to those who believe in his Son. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and let's read this concerning those who have received Jesus Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now the only way that you're going to be in Christ is when God puts you there. And God puts you there the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. See, so as far as God is concerned, you are a new creation that he himself made. He sees that person, he writes the Bible so that you can see that person and walk in that person by faith. See, that person is a spiritual person. The old man no longer exists as far as God is concerned, and that's why Paul says to take off the old man and put on the new man, which is the new reborn person in Christ. I like to continue to read this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So if you want to know what your ministry is, there it is. The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Let me read that again. Not imputing or crediting them their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, that's your full-time job, as though God did beseech you by us, we beg you in Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. Now verse 21, and listen closely, friends, because this is how God made you acceptable to himself, and how you got saved. For he hath made him, speaking of Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, so God is the one that saves you when you receive Christ, and he makes you into his righteousness. When you receive Christ as Savior, you become the righteousness of God. It's that simple, because God said so. And God is the only one that's able to do that. Now, if God gives you his own righteousness, then we can assume, and I hope we can assume, and we should assume, or we should know, that the righteousness that God gives us is certainly acceptable to him. If the righteousness that he gives us is not acceptable to him, then he wouldn't give it to us in the first place. See, so by receiving Christ, friends, you are restored back to the image of Adam before the fall. And if, again, you read Genesis, you will read that it said that God was very pleased with Adam and Eve when he made them. Now, since God remakes you into the image of Christ when you receive him as Savior, you are now born again, that's what that means, and you are now acceptable to God because God himself made you acceptable to himself through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's no other way to get saved, and there's no other way to be acceptable to God. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 8 and 9, and this will be the last scripture, to show you how God, we should know now how God saved us, but under what conditions did God save us? Is it by something that we did or by something that he did? But it can't be both, folks. I mean, please understand that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace, that means God's unmerited favor. God didn't see something in you and said, well, okay, I'll save that person because I see one good thing in him. No, God saw nothing good in us. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. And can anything be more clear than that? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now I say amen and amen to that. Well, my dear friends, we have reached the end of this month's lesson, and I hope with all my heart that it has helped you. Now, if you ever have any questions or comments, please feel free to call us or write us anytime. Remember, we are one in the body of Christ. This is Rosario Abati. Thanks for listening. I love you, and please join me for next month's lesson.